This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is a company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 91 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
Man, we're a little bit over a year into our journey. The gentleman we're bringing on for you guys today is a dude that I've been listening to. He's had a few different podcasts. He's very close with Joe Rogan, so I first started hearing him and seeing him on the Rogan podcast.
Yep.
Who we're talking about? We're talking about Aubrey Marcus, founder, CEO of Onnit.
Yeah, he's been on the Vision Board for the Vision Board Podcast for a long, long time now. And unfortunately, Aubrey was on holidays, I think, when we visited the Onnit location back in June. But he's been a guy that he's been doing some inspiring work. What he's done with Onnit for over the last 5 years, thinking, I don't want to spoil the actual origin story for you because we're going to touch on that during the actual interview. But to see where he's come from and now to see the passions and where he's going with it all, it is inspiring.
Man, I was down at the GNC, walking by the GNC supplement store down at Town Hall. All you guys from Sydney, you know where I'm talking about. And as I walk by the store, I see a guy wearing the all-green Onnit shirt, the one I like rocking. So I stop in there, and we start chit-chatting, and that just goes to show you the pull and the reach of this company. And what it is Aubrey is on this constant mission of questioning. He wants answers. He wants answers in terms of what are we here for? What are the boundaries? He's really big on plant-based healing, plant-based medicines. And if you look at Onnit, if you go to their product and their webpage, you're going to see in big bold letters, Total Human Optimization.
Yeah.
He really started this brand. We'll get to hear it from the man himself as well, as a way to offer natural organic supplements to ensure people reach their full potential.
Yeah, I think it's great what he's done, and his marketing strategy in terms of, you know, he backs a lot of the UFC fighters, plus he backs a lot of the top podcasts right around the world, and his marketing strategy is brilliant, and he's aligned with people that he sees kind of match onto his brand as well. And his line, when you think it started with what, Alpha Brain, and now it's got what, over 150 or something, maybe more, maybe it's 250 different products. You know, they're always evolving.
Yeah,
that little tech room that we saw last time, and
yeah,
you know,
that was
the guys
cool
they got there. And
Jason Heavey, shout out, man, COO of Onnit. When we were, what Tristan's talking about, we were in the headquarters, and this place was like a college university. You know, they had Joe DeFranco's gym there.
Yeah.
They had, but we got the behind the scenes look at like their product development. So they had at the time,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, the kettlebell stuff. It's not just supplements, guys. It's equipment. It's training stories. It's gear. There's a lot of coaches on there too now, so you can see the guys who are behind the mace. The steel mace is a big one. Aubrey likes doing a lot of these movements that mimic how we moved when we were hunters and gatherers,
yeah,
like warrior movements, primal type of like sore throws.
Some of the equipment's actually, you know, all those kettlebells and those, what's those ones that call?
The steel mace?
Steel mace.
Yeah, the one that's a sword. So you're mimicking sword movements a lot. But at the same time, too, it's promoting shoulder mobility and spinal, keeping the spine neutral and a lot of, like, everyday bending side-to-side movements,
I think that's a big thing, like leaving ego at the door and actually doing the movement properly. Do you know what I mean? I think that's a huge thing that people actually discount these days.
I think also, too, leaving ego at the door when you have such a dogmatic approach traditionally to weight rooms. When you think about it, when you talk about a weight room, you see a lot of dumbbells, barbells, that's it. Aubrey, when you look at his training, it's a lot of, like, you know, it's not new age, but old school approach.
Yeah.
So you could get a lot of people who might hate on that initially.
But he's found his way, right?
It's obviously working. He's actually taken it back to the forest.
Yeah.
You know, he always disappears into the jungle, and he's big on Aya. He's big on
traveling, doesn't he?
Yeah. You know, Iboga, plant-based healing sort of stuff. So, you know, altered states of consciousness. He's one of these guys I've been wanting to talk to for a long time. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a lot of value out of him because the fact that he's not only just a big, you know, good businessman, he's a good leader.
Good host.
He's created a great sense of culture within his own firm, which I really want to ask him a few questions about. And he's got two great podcasts, so he's keeping his hands busy and, you know, he dates Whitney as well. He's got plenty going on for him, man.
Circle of influence is on point. One of his good friends is Joe Rogan.
So his influences are very, very high. So, and, you know, he's just doing it brilliantly. So can't wait to get him on.
Super excited.
All right. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get Aubrey Marcus on. All right, our special guest is Aubrey Marcus. Aubrey is the founder and CEO of Onnit, which he established in 2010 based on his holistic health philosophy, which he calls Total Human Optimization. He has since grown the company into an industry leader with over 250 products and 130 employees. He also hosts two fantastic podcasts named the Total Human Optimization and also the Aubrey Marcus podcast. We welcome Aubrey Marcus. Aubrey, welcome to the show, my man.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Doing great, man.
Doing excellent, Aubrey. Like Tristan mentioned, you know, founded Onnit, speaker, host, you know, philosophy, world traveler, all of these attributes. Could you share with our fans and our audience a little insight of what's currently in the works for 2017 for you? I recently read maybe some courses and things like that, what our fans could expect from you.
Yeah, you know, it's really the course is set, and I think for me it all starts with a mission, and the mission for me is to explore as much, find as much truth, you know, go out and see how much I can learn, how much I can expand, and then bring that to as many people as possible, you know, help people live the best life they can, you know, play this video game that we have available for us where we get these beautiful human bodies and this amazing world to explore and play it to the best ability that we can, you know, learn how to, you know, help our character, our person, you know, have the right mental framework, have the right physical strength and attributes, and have the right spiritual connection to really maximize this opportunity that we have. So, you know, that's the mission. And then how the details play out will be, you know, multifaceted. I really, you know, to my detriment and to my advantage, I like exploring many different things. So I'm always onto something new and some new path, and just kind of looking to bring back what I learned to everybody I can.
Aubrey, I first started listening to you about 5 years ago. My question comes from before that. So maybe where did this passion come from for willingness to question things and learn and reach your full potential? Was this always in you as a young boy, or is this something that has evolved because of a certain scenario in your life, or were you influenced by a single guy or girl, something like that?
I think it was a little bit of both. You know, I think for me as a kid, I was someone who no adult figure could ever tell me, do this because I told you so. Like, I would not accept that answer. I'd be like, well, why? Like, I need to understand it. And if I understood it, then I would go along with it. And you know, my parents raised me with that, you know, kind of a very libertarian philosophy where they wanted me to understand the consequences of my choices. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of parents make is they treat children like little idiots. Like you can't even understand, even if you tried, you're a little idiot. They're not a little idiot. They're just a young brain that hasn't fully developed yet. They're a fully sentient being in development. And I think my parents treating me like that and asking me to question things, and even when there was issues to discuss at the dinner table, like relationship issues with friends and things, they would ask my opinion and they would get my brain working. And I was, you know, basically trained to think philosophically about the problems we were trying to solve, both in my own life and others. And so, you know, I think that that was something that was in me and also, you know, cultivated by my parents.
Yeah. What made you, because originally you were in marketing, right?
I think you're always in marketing in one way or another.
But, I mean,
you know, I mean, it's about the ability to package information and communicate in a way that can be effective. But I ran a marketing company for about 7 years after college.
What was that jump between running a marketing company and starting Onnit? Was Onnit, was that something that was just always driving you, something in the back of your mind that you always wanted to be in the industry?
Yeah, well, the problem with a marketing company is you're basically working for a bunch of different bosses. And, you know, ultimately you can develop the best campaign in the world, have the best idea in the world, know what you should do, and ego can step in the way or some other factor can step in the way and all your hard work can just be thrown aside. And so it's actually a rather frustrating experience, you know, because you don't really have the ability to control your own destiny. And also, you don't have the ability to fully control what kind of message is being put out and what kind of products are being put out. So ultimately, I always knew that I was going to transition into something that I could be 100% passionate about. And Onnit was the obvious choice in that it encompassed so many things that I would never get bored.
Aubrey, I've been reading a lot about and intrigued by the law of subtraction, the idea of what we want in life. Let you know, you don't need to add more to your life. You know, it's about letting go to find your fulfillment. Is there anything recently that you found that you've let go of things to allow yourself to continually to evolve?
The biggest thing to let go of is your identity and your attachment to your identity. You know, the emptier you can get, the less, and this is getting kind of philosophical and metaphysical, but for me, you know, the less attached you are to this persona, this idea of who you are, which gets harder, you know, the more well-known you become and the more your own personal brand, I guess you could say, gets out there. If you get attached to that, you're always in the position of needing to defend it. And when you're needing to defend it, the body treats it and the mind treats it like it's life or death, and you're constantly stressed out. So for me, letting go of my attachment to identity is, you know, one of the most challenging yet rewarding, you know, things that I'm really looking to do. It's really a lot for me. It's about internal processes. It's not about the external things. It's about getting the insides right and then letting the outside world fall into place from that.
Does this philosophy allow you to constantly create? It sounds like there's a lot of direct correlations with, you know, how you live your life, the strictness, the passion you have for that, also with your business with Onnit, you know, with products such as, you know, New Mood, Alpha Brain. Was that a plan, or is it just a lot? They just seem to mesh up, synchronicity sort of thing.
I mean, I think really, as I said, it just all follows from mission. You know, I mean, that's the ultimate guide star, and then everything needs to fit in place of that mission, you know. And so all of the philosophy, all of the products, everything, it all cohesively works together because it's all moving towards the same mission. And that mission is optimizing this life experience. So in a way, it all works together. It's all part of the plan. But you never know, you know, which way the water is going to branch off and form different streams and different rivers and things that you can play in.
Take me back to day one of Onnit. Like, where were you? Did you run it out of maybe a garage to start? What's the origins? Where's the origins
of
Onnit?
It was an attic. Not close, but just
really?
The other direction. Yeah, it was like an attic above a little boutique shop, and you know, we were doing everything out of that little place. And then when we launched Alpha Brain and it popped off, you know, it was crazy. We were packing garbage bags full of Alpha Brain orders in USPS envelopes, and you know, literally just stacking up garbage bags full of packages for the postman to pick up. And it was wild. I mean, I just started asking all my friends who were jobless, or at least close enough to jobless, that could help me out. And we really started with just myself and friends and family. And of course, you know, a lot of that was facilitated by my partnership with Joe Rogan.
Yeah, and could you share insight on how that started? Was it, because I always, you know, I've been taking the products, rocking the shirts for about 5-6 years, and it's one of those things, like Aubrey Owens started the company, Joe Rogan. Is Joe a figurehead, or is he like side by side with you doing these decision makings, or how does that relationship work with Onnit?
You know, we do some brainstorming together, and you know, but now that we've charted the direction together and we really understand it, you know, he gives me a lot of leeway to kind of make a lot of the day-to-day decisions. But any of the like really crucial decisions, I'll run by him, and he's sure as shit ready to tell me when we fuck something up. I mean, at the moment that we do something stupid, you know, and I know when Rogan's calling and I see his number show up, I'm like, all right, he's about to tell us we did something stupid, and that's, you know, and that's a great thing. We have this really open communication. You know, it's the ideal business partnership, because we just tell it to each other at 100. You know, when we do something awesome, we share that. When we do something stupid, we share that. And we don't really stress about, you know, trying to spin anything one way or another. We just, you know, figure it out.
Does that have parallels with you and the people you choose to surround yourself with? Like, do you identify these traits in people when you hang out with them, your friendships and things like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, that's one of the things that I definitely look for, is people who have reconciled their own, you know, kind of chaotic forces enough that they can be consistently applied, and I can understand who they are, and they understand who they are, and that allows for an authenticity of communication and rapport that makes the experience a lot more fun.
Yeah. What was your vision for Onnit all the way back in the attic? And let's talk about a little bit about your vision now that, you know, you've got a marvelous facility down there in Austin. It's amazing what you've created.
You know, I'd love to say that I pictured every aspect of this, but I didn't. I just knew the principles, the guiding principles behind what we needed to create. And then you just continue to learn. You know, I knew it was going to be supplements, but I didn't know all of the different pathways it would go. But, you know, I can't say that I'm surprised either. You know, it was one of those things where, and I keep harking back to it, but I just had the vision for the biggest picture, you know, the integrity, the quality, the type of company that I wanted to run, the mission of total human optimization. And then, you know, slowly as you start excavating that, what that's going to look like, you know, some things are going to go shift in different ways than you expect. I mean, one of the most pleasant surprises and one of the, you know, the things I love most about this is our actual tangible gym here in Austin, Texas at the headquarters. I mean, that is like a little paradise for me. You know, I love being able to walk over there from my office and see not only a thriving business model, but a place where people can actually put some of these philosophies in practice.
Yeah, so Tris and I, we jumped into a cab. I think it was a Wednesday morning, and the cab took us to the Onnit Academy. And as we're walking in, we walked past, it was the last day you guys had the food truck because you were getting ready to open the bar inside. So from the moment Tris and I walked in, we were greeted with smiles. We signed in. You have the gift shop there. And then we met with Cameron. And then, you know, we talked with Orlando. They showed us around. We actually trained. And the place is just super vast, filled with like-minded individuals, smiling, greeting everybody. How did that culture, was this something that you guys work on? Do you preach this to the people that work for you? Or is it just something because it resonates through you? It's that, you know, addicting to infectious sort of thing.
Well, it's not, we definitely don't have culture meetings. You know, it's not one of those things where I think if you really have to work that hard on culture, it's not going to be real. I mean, I think just the guiding principles of giving, you know, aligning people towards the mission, making sure that people buy in, and then giving them every opportunity to succeed and feel proud of the work they do. You know, I've been in really toxic work environments, and I learned a lot of lessons from those, and I know that happy people work hardest, and it's one of those situations where, you know, you can motivate through fear and the threat of being fired, or you can motivate through, you know, pride and satisfaction in what you do and the impact that you're going to create for the world and give people the freedom. You know, we allow people, you know, flexible vacation days. We're not, you know, obviously they have to get them approved, but we don't count how many they take. We just trust that people are going to do their job because they're going to want to do their job. And whenever we need people to work overtime and work extra, you know, it's not a hard ask. You know, it's everybody's just ready to go and volunteer because we give first. And it really goes back to that principle of reciprocity. You know, I really strongly believe that, you know, whatever you give to somebody, they will feel compelled to give back. And if they don't have that kind of personality, they're not going to fit here. And that's not going to last long. They're going to be uncomfortable in that. They're going to be uncomfortable in even receiving that much positivity. And so if they're uncomfortable receiving that much positivity, those are the people who find a different place to work.
Yeah. Aubrey, did you find it hard to let go of control? Because, you know, on day one, you were doing everything. And I'm sure after, 6 or 7 years now, you know, you've got a different role. You've got 130 people working for you now. So obviously, you're not doing everything. Did you find it hard when you had to transition from doing everything to just being CEO?
No. Well, there's two parts of that. One, I love giving up control when someone is doing a good job. Yeah. I mean, I'd like nothing more than to give up all control. You know, like that's great. I love seeing things, you know, manifest in the best way possible. Where it gets harder and frustrating is when I see things that we're not doing that I know we should, and things that I know that if I applied a little bit more attention could receive, you know, a lot better result. So it's a combination. You know, I have no issue. I have no attachment to controlling anything, but I do have an attachment to seeing, you know, things executed excellently. And so that's the dance, you know, understanding what kind of, cause you can't do everything. So Understanding what's exceptional and acceptable, and then sometimes pleasantly surprised, like, wow, this is going way better than I ever could have done if I was managing it myself. And other times looking at it like, man, I better shine some light on this thing because it's really lagging behind. So, you know, that's where I find myself now is, you know, really trying to give as much autonomy to our C-level team, our chiefs and executives, to manage as much as possible. But if I see something kind of lagging behind, then I apply a lot of personal effort to that.
Could you share some insight on the guided meditation course and, you know, the importance? Because a lot of Tris and I are both coaches, and a lot of our clients will ask, you know, so much questions on the physical aspect, but it's, you know, probably in my opinion, more important the recovery aspect and separating ourselves from the chaos of, you know, their 9-to-5 grind. With that guided meditation, I'm just interested, how is that going? Like, what is the system? Is it going to be an app, or is it a, you know, you plug in and just, are you doing the whole thing? And just share with us a little bit about how that's going to work.
Well, yeah, I mean, the meditation course is part of my personal platform on AubreyMarcus.com. And that's through one of my best homies, this guy Corey Allen, who's really a meditation master. And it's a video course and has a series of guided meditations and tips to really take someone from a novice to, you know, a fairly advanced meditation practitioner in a pretty short period of time. I have my own guided meditation, but that's singular and that's free. And you can download that from my site as well. And that just kind of encompasses a lot of the different styles of meditation that I've picked up that have been effective from all of the places that I've read, the things that I've tried. But yeah, I mean, meditation is absolutely one of the most vital things that we can do. I think in order to adequately chart your course anywhere, first you have to get still. You know, I mean, it's, you can't even see the horizon when your emotions and when your mind is running a million miles an hour and you're checking your phone every 2 minutes. I mean, how are you supposed to envision, you know, where you want to go until you can get still? And meditation is one of the great ways to get still.
Do you think in America they'll ever be ready to teach it to everybody in schools, like a 7-year-old, you know, from day one? Do you think that system set up to ever have that in schools?
Maybe. I mean, I think schools are really a lagging, unfortunately, they really lag behind. Mm. They're not innovators. They're not going to be out in front of this. So I think, you know, it'll happen, but it'll happen late. It'll happen when the majority of parents are already doing it. Mm. And when, you know, there's already other third-party options for kids and for everybody that have really taken off and taken hold. It's just one of those things where those large bureaucracies are the slowest to move. But fortunately, you know, we do have a bit of a free market system where, you know, some private schools could start to pick that up and parents could see the results coming from kids who are experiencing some of these things that we know are valuable. And that could help push the market as well.
Aubrey, I'm intrigued in
terms of your day-to-day, are you a very structured person? Do you have sort of like a morning routine or things that you have to do before you start your workday?
No, I'm not. I get asked that a lot. And a lot of people, you know, they want to, they want to, you know, figure out what that is. I understand what the ideal day is, and sometimes I do it in that order. But I'm the kind of person who has like a vast tool set, and I just apply the tool that's necessary to get everything back in line. And I, so, you know, it's not so much a regimen. It's just a vast knowledge base. And then I apply what is needed to make sure that I'm keeping the ship running.
You just mentioned a vast tool set. It's one of the questions Tris and I like asking a lot of our guests. It's, you know, our invisible tool belt, things that we carry with us on a day in and day out basis that allow us to grow and learn and share and help people. Could you share with us maybe some of those tools that you possess that maybe not a lot of people know about you that allow you to keep helping people, keep sharing, keep creating?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, there's the physical tools, you know, the things that help keep my body in shape. And, you know, those are the physical implements like the maces and the clubs and the unconventional equipment and the movement patterns that I do to keep my body right so that, you know, I can move around in the ways that I want and desire to move around. And then there's the, you know, kind of internal assistance that you can get from the right foods and the right supplements and the right nutrition. And then there's the mindset practices, you know, from meditation to yoga to flotation tanks to ecstatic dance, holotropic breathing. I mean, all of these, this vast array of ways to basically get still and to find that stillness. And then there's the real powerful kind of consciousness technologies, some of which are the plant medicines, which, you know, have been a huge help in my life. And, you know, then of course the books and the bodies of knowledge that I've been able to access through them and through different mentors. So, you know, really, the tool belt is vast.
Yeah. Aubrey, you mentioned books. Like, I love like kind of you're getting insights into what people are reading and what's on their bookshelves. Can you maybe share maybe a few books that maybe you're currently reading?
Currently reading. There's a book from my good friend Ted Decker called The Forgotten Way. And this is a book that's reevaluating some of the Christian doctrine and really trying to understand like the mystical roots of Jesus's teachings. And I'm not a religious guy, but you know, it's something that I'm not that familiar with, so it's really interesting to me to see how that all aligns with my own spiritual exploration and how these deeper truths can be found in many, many different knowledge bases and how those truths have been manipulated for different purposes by, you know, larger organizations like religion. So that's my current book that I'm reading, but, you know, I have a big litany of things that I always refer back to, particularly the Toltec philosophy has been something that's been incredibly helpful from Carlos Castaneda, who was a bit of a crazy person, but had a really powerful philosophy, to who I think is one of the greatest living masters, Don Miguel Ruiz.
Actually, one question I was actually really intrigued about is, as you know, we visited your facility in June. You know, your office is pretty amazing, and I guess it probably depicts your personality a little bit. Can you just tell us a little bit about, you know, your little man cave that you've created there at Onnit?
Yeah, I mean, I love collecting, I love the world, and I love the dynamic, you know, nature of everything that's been a part of it. And I've always been fascinated with the warrior culture particularly, so you'll see a lot of things from that. I have a statue of Genghis Khan. Just go around my room. I have a statue of Genghis Khan next to a 15th century Nihonto, like traditional forged samurai sword that was battle worn, and then an ayahuasca shipibo painting that I got from the jungle, like an 18th century Japanese kimono, a 19th century Spanish armor that took a musket ball in the chest from one of the cavalry, you know, sports memorabilia from different athletes and professionals that have come through, and the Zen fountain, my supplements, my gear, this book called Before They Pass Away from Jimmy Nelson, which cataloged all the different tribes of the world, and then, you know, some cool paintings on the wall. I have a a Native American chief with a giant war bonnet with all the eagle feathers that denote all of his acts of bravery. I mean, this dude must have been a serious badass, because you get one eagle feather for each coup, which is an act of bravery, and this dude has like a couple hundred. So not someone you wanted to fuck with. You know, and then behind me I have a Boga-inspired painting from someone who went down to cure his heroin addiction based on a podcast I did with Joe Rogan, painted this beautiful painting, and able to purchase that for charity from him. So, you know, things that all have a lot of significant meaning for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty much going to yell at Orlando for not giving us that tour. I wish we would have known all those things.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
We're sitting in that room, and, you know, as I'm looking around, I wanted to ask you this question. I told my girlfriend I was going to, and she's like, it might be intrusive. But I was like, it's Aubrey. I got to ask him. So we're getting ready to do the podcast with Orlando hosting it. And I'm, you know, my background's psychology. I like reading rooms. So I'm looking around. And so I'm sitting at that table, and behind me there's a bookcase. And you have just like, I think every Onnit, one of each maybe. A lot of the Onnit supplements were sitting there in the bottles. And right near there in the middle shelf was a white envelope. I didn't touch it. I just looked at it, and it just said to Aubrey from Dan, I think it was Dan Engel. And I was like, yeah. I was like, shit, man, what is in that envelope? So now, since I'm able to ask you, if you don't mind sharing, do you even remember that envelope? Is it something that he does a lot, leave you gifts? And if you do remember, what was in the envelope?
I can't tell you that, man. You had a good instinct, though.
Man,
you knew there was something good in
of
that
course.
Envelope.
I was like, that's being tested. I know it's sitting there. I'm like, shit.
How'd you know, though? That's pretty good that you picked up that there was something special in that thing. Dr. Dan is one of my soul brothers. He travels all around the world, and I remember that envelope, and it had some pretty cool shit in it.
Yeah, it was the packaging. So it was just a white envelope, and then the name Dan, you know, I've seen him on with you a couple different times, and I'm pretty sure he's the gentleman, too. He was shedding light on the Iboga treatment down in Mexico. So that's when I knew, you know, I knew there was something special in there, but just from hearing that, you know, I appreciate you letting us know that we can't know.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Even better. It's like the black briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Totally.
Aubrey, talk to us a little bit about your training in nutrition. I'd love to know, because you're in great shape, man. I'd love to know what you're up to week.
Again, that's, you know, it's one of those things where I've had so much exposure. You know, I've been an athlete in so many different sports, never great at anything, but pretty damn good at a lot of things. And so I've picked up just so many different ways to train and so many different things. I think for me, you know, one of the tips that I can give everybody is I always start off with something that's the funnest for me, because I realize, like, as soon as I really get in there and get a sweat, and get the body moving, then the endorphins start rolling, and then from there I can get a really good workout. But if I'm thinking about doing like the thing I hate the worst first, then it's harder for me to do it, and I'm more likely to skip it. So that's one tip that I use that you know, not a lot of people think about, because I think once you get that momentum in there, and you're actually in there, and you have that first sweat, and you know, there's really no turning around for me at that point. But I, you know, working out is something that I enjoy. So often for me, that's hitting the bag. You know, I've done a lot of martial arts my whole life. So, you know, a couple rounds hitting the bag, and then some of the decompression and, you know, rolling out anything that's feels a little tight or sticky, and then, get into, you know, whatever I'm into that day. Some days it looks very conventional and using a lot of barbell stuff. Some days it's all mace and club and kettlebell. Definitely do a lot of work on the muscles that are behind my body. You know, it's a lot of the back and posterior chain, and then just trying to keep as balanced as I can. And it's just been a consistent thing for me my whole life. You know, I've never really been that out of shape, and you know, I don't have a reason to get in, you know, fight ready shape. So I'm always hovering in that, you know, pretty good range. And then and nutritionally, you know, the things I try to pay attention to is staying away from really high glycemic foods. I think when I have those blood sugar spikes, that's when I feel the worst. And also high inflammation foods, so any kind of fried fats or fats that have turned, and those things tend to be some of the most high inflammation foods for me. And so I try to stay away from those, or things that give me a lot of digestive distress, like cruciferous vegetables don't work for me. Different legumes don't work for me. And just trying to keep my body as smooth and quiet as possible. But I'm pretty much eating all the time. I mean, I have a couple shakes a day, and I'm kind of munching on stuff all day.
Yeah. Just take you back to your training. Did you ever have a trainer, or did someone write your programs out for you?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, and that was usually when I had a goal, you know. So if I was planning on some kind of contest, or, you know, I was a basketball player for most of my life, so it was always about training for basketball. But or if I had a fight or a tournament or something that was coming up, then I followed a much stricter protocol outside of my control. But then, you know, when it's just me kind of being in shape and having fun, I generally like to do that on my own, just because I understand the training methodologies and I have the discipline to do it. And, trainers, because I'm in shape and because I'm Aubrey and I run this fitness company, when I get with trainers, their instinct is to try and show me how tough their workouts are. And sometimes it's fun and I'll just play along and we'll do it. And sometimes it's like, man, why did I do that? Now I'm going to be sore for a week and I'm not going to be able to have as much fun this week. And what for? You know, what was the point? So, that's kind of my philosophy right now.
Could you kind of help us a little bit? So we get a lot of people maybe in our circle and they email us, like down in Australia, the Onnit brand, it's known in the small MMA circles. What am I supposed to say if somebody comes up to me, Johnny, what's Onnit? What would you say if somebody asked you? Other than a total human optimization brand, how would you pitch it if you had to pitch it for the first time?
You know, Onnit is a company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
Which I like using the Alpha brand. I just started using it. I'm always carrying around the Warrior bars. Is there more, because, you know, we've all got different bodies and different supplements will suit different body types and things like that. Is there any specific ones that you currently are using?
Ah, man, I use all of them. Like, there's literally not a product that we have that I don't use. And that's kind of part of my criteria. Yeah. Now, some of my favorite ones, the digestive supplements, you know, I'm taking the Digestec or Total Gut Pack a couple times a day. Alpha Brain before every podcast, before every time I really need to be switched on mentally, I'm taking that. Shroom Tech before every hard workout. Yep. New Mood I use kind of sparingly when I haven't been sleeping that well. Shroom Tech Immune, some of our immune supplements, those are dailies. The krill oil, that's a daily. The emulsified MCT oil, that is like, so if we're talking like, if I have to travel with like an overnight bag, I got, you know, emulsified MCT oil.
Yeah.
And then I got the digestive enzymes. And, you know, usually I'll bring the vitamin D spray unless I'm going somewhere sunny. And that's like my must-haves, really.
So is it fair to say that all the products were created for you? And it's like,
yeah,
well, jump on 100%. My journey if you want to come and look like me.
Yeah, this was just awesome. A really long, roundabout way to create all the things that I wanted for my own life.
Just for Christmas gifts. You already said that, right?
Exactly.
So that, man, and I'm going to just admit my ignorance here because I should know about this. But in June, I had never taken MCT oil. So we're getting ready to, we had just spoke with Cameron down there, and then we were getting ready to talk with Orlando. And I grabbed a shake from the bar, and like 20 minutes in, I started like, my throat was like, what the fuck? I kept getting indigestion. And then Orlando was like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I just had this shake. What's it? You know, it was a blueberry one. It was delicious. And he was like, oh, have you had MCT oil before? And I'm like, no. He's like, dude, you probably just did like a shot of it. He was like, that sort of thing, you have to start like incrementally, yeah. Small sort of thing. What's the main benefit of incorporating MCT oil into your everyday diet? Is it just a healthy, super good fat? To help.
It is, okay. Yeah. I think it's one of the healthiest, cleanest fats you can get, and it has the benefit too that it Unless you take too much, it'll bypass through the digestive system and go directly into the liver and convert to energy that way. So if you do too much, your gut will like pass it straight through, which is an issue. Yeah. But if you do it in the proper amounts, it'll just give you really fast and clean fuel.
Yeah, because it's kind of still new to us in Australia. Like, what actually is MCT oil?
Yeah, medium chain triglycerides. So they're, a certain type of fat that you can find in like coconut oil. And okay. They basically, through a centrifuge, they carve out some of the most beneficial fats, these fats that can pass directly through the digestive system into your liver and convert to ATP energy. And you can find them in some other different sources like palm oil, but coconut oil is by far the best. It also contains lauric acid, which has a variety of different benefits as well that you can only get from coconut oil. And it's just a really healthy source of fat. And that fat then also in turn is an important thing to put in your diet because it forms a substrate for proper hormone production, proper mental function. Really, I think one of the great travesties of our era was when that bad science came out convincing people that sugar was better than fat. Mm. And you have all of this non-fat and skim milk and non-fat yogurt. It's like just insane. You know, like non-fat milk, what are you doing? You're just having the lactose? Like, is that what we're doing here?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you just want the milk sugar. Like, that's the good part? Like, get out of here. You know, the fat is the only good part of the dairy, particularly when it's been pasteurized. So people have it completely backwards. They're like, oh, I'm going to be healthy and get the skim milk. Like just the lactose. Got it. Beautiful. Good work, everybody. You know, and that's, it's just crazy. And that science is out now, but nonetheless, you know, you can walk down a grocery store and you still see non-fat yogurt, non-fat this. And I'm like, God, when is this going to fucking change? When are people going to wake up and realize that the fat is the only good part of the dairy, you know, and then the rest is what you don't want. So.
Yeah, we were talking to a few months back a nutritionist out of St. Louis, and he was educating us on the vagus nerve.
Sean Stevenson.
Yeah, Sean, man, that dude's amazing. Shout out to Sean Stevenson, guys, if you haven't listened to his show, The Model Health Show, on iTunes. But Aubrey, he was shedding light about the difference like of vitamin A's and how it's only been 100 years since we've been eating muscle meat, and we used to eat just organ meat. And in those organs, that's where you'll find that very important vitamin in like the brains, the hearts, the livers, the kidneys. Is this something that you practice or
I eat the heart out of every enemy that I vanquish that's like been a key principle for me.
Savage. You know? But like do you go out of your way to be like, are there people out there that are so like strict that, you know, I won't eat muscle meat, I'll only eat organ meat? Are you in that?
No,
I was worried. I was like, shit.
Either. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who try to mix in some organ meat, but there's other ways to get around that. But there's it is good to pay attention to what we used to eat and take a look at what animals eat first as well, too. You know, I mean, animals don't generally go for the muscle meat first. You know, they go for different organs as their primary source, and they're instinctively doing that because that's where their nutrients come from. So it's good to pay attention to the natural order and learn why that is and what we can do to duplicate that.
Yeah. Hey, I was listening to your podcast with Brendan Schaub a couple of weeks ago. I was shocked to hear about those guys that attacked you and Whitney. Did they find those guys and you guys are okay?
No. Oh. No, I keep a lookout for them. I would only recognize them if they were all together. I don't think I would recognize any one of the four on their own, but if they were all together, it was enough of like a cast of characters that I think I would recognize them, but I've never seen them since. And as I said, the adrenaline had me basically completely blacked out, which is so insane to me because I've drank an insane amount of alcohol, done copious amounts of drugs, and never lost a moment of memory, but I got so mad that I don't remember hardly anything, so... It was wild.
Yeah, is Whitney okay?
Oh, it wasn't Whitney. It was actually my fiance before Whitney. Her name's Kate.
Ah, okay. I was trying to work out
who
it was.
She got a little busted up, but yeah, that was over 5 years ago.
Ah, wow. Okay. Just touching on a few little things that we like to touch on. We like to just speak about leadership and just different traits that you see in good leaders. You know, you surround yourself with really good people, the likes of Joe Rogan that we spoke about before. Who are some of the people that, you know, you see as influences in your life, and maybe a few traits that you see in good leaders?
Yeah, I mean, I think the traits I see in good leaders are when they have a handle on their own ego, you know, and when they're not making decisions based upon that. You know, I think you have to lead by example, but not in the way that everybody always thinks. Like, sometimes you think, like, lead by example means you have to be the first one to get to the office, the last one to leave, you have to do all of this. And that can be helpful, you know, and that's one way to do it. But it's also to lead, you know, emotionally with the most kindness, the most heart, the most, you know, the most consciousness in your practices, the most integrity, and really set a really steady pace so that people know that when you speak and when you act, it's coming from a place of reason, and that anybody can bring any idea up to you, and you're not going to respond emotionally and respond based out of ego and feel challenged, that that every idea is worthy of review and up to the standards of logic. So you create a system that feels really fair. And when the system feels fair, that's when you have a really healthy organism. When the system feels unfair and it feels like decisions are being made emotionally, that's when it gets really toxic and you start to really doubt your leader. I think that's really the key for me, is just to make sure that I'm communicating and explaining the reason why, even if we don't agree, you know, they understand why the decisions are being made. You know, like, I hear your point. I think that's a very reasonable point. Here's my point. Here's the reasons why I think that's the right way, and that's what we're going to go with. And so at least no matter whether there's agreement or disagreement in the actual point, they understand the methods behind it, and they understand it's not just, you know, chasing the white whale.
You've read How to Win Friends and Influence People, haven't you?
I haven't. No.
You haven't. That's one of the biggest sort of things that they have in that book, and you've pretty much explained it brilliantly. So, yeah.
Aubrey, when I put on my social media that we are going to have you on, I know our time is limited. You know, we only have a few more questions, but I was getting questions out of left field, center field, right field. I'm just going to ask one general one. For you have a lot of fans out there, man. Your mission, your statement, what you're doing is impacting a lot of people, not just in America. So for anybody out there listening at home, a lot of our audience are younger coaches, gentlemen overcoming, you know, just trying to figure life out. Do you have any bit of advice for those guys listening, maybe struggling with something, on how to overcome some adversity to keep pushing forward?
You know, I'm a real believer in the Stoic philosophy, and that philosophy summed up is, you know, the obstacle is the way. You know, we need resistance. We need that stone that we can sharpen our sword against. And so, you know, look at all of these things, all of these challenges you have, and look at them with a smile, because that's what's going to make you stronger. You know, everything that is up against you is an opportunity for yourself to grow. I mean, imagine going into a weight room and all the weights were made of plastic and you actually couldn't lift anything because everything was completely light. You know, like, you don't want your world to be made of Nerf. You know, like, you need the heavy iron, you need the heavy loads, you know, you need the challenges because that's what's going to make you great. You know, I didn't start a health company because I had immaculate health. A great fighter doesn't become a great fighter because he always won every one of his fights. You know, you learn through adversity, and you learn to overcome the challenges that you have, and that becomes your inherent superpower. So, you know, just be grateful for that, for the resistance that you have, and the stronger the load you have against you, the more opportunity you have to grow strong.
Yeah, well said, Aubrey. Okay, Aubrey, we've got two personality questions to finish. Now, one's going to give us insights to you when you were growing up, and one into what you are today. Okay, the first question is, when you were growing up, what posters did you have on your wall?
I had a Playboy centerfold on the wall in my closet. I really did. My dad had like an archive collection, and I would go steal them, and I like wallpapered my closet with them.
That's so funny.
It was always girls for me. It was never really cars or. I mean, I like cars, and I like them now, but that doesn't really fire me up. But I'm a sucker for a beautiful woman.
Okay, my second one is, now, Aubrey Marcus, you're going to be hosting a private dinner party. You've got 5 invites. It can be anyone, dead or alive. It just can't be anyone that is a family member or a friend. Who are you inviting?
Oh, you know, I think I would invite, you know, the great mystics of the world all together to sit down and talk a little philosophy, you know, get Jesus and Buddha and maybe Don Miguel and myself and, you know, maybe Hamilton Souther, who's, you know, one of the wisest ayahuasca shamans that I've ever met. And maybe it would be us five sitting around and someone to put on a podcast. So, we have the greatest podcast of all time.
That would be amazing. And one last thing for everyone listening at home who isn't connected yet, where could the people follow your journey and stay in touch with you?
Yeah, everything on social is at Aubrey Marcus, and pretty much everything on for On It is at On It, and websites and Instagrams and Twitters, and, you know, my Facebook page is super active, and that's just /Aubrey Marcus. A lot of conversation there. And if you want to go further with me personally and have more discourse, I'm teaching a course called Go For Your Win. The course is about halfway through now, but it's a really good opportunity through private groups and private calls, you know, to get some one-on-one time with me and in a group setting, of course, but also be able to communicate a little bit tighter with the inner circle. So keep a lookout for that. We'll probably launch that course again in March, and you can go to that at goforyourwin.com.
Is that like a mentoring program, Aubrey?
A bit. You know, I wrote 30,000 words talking about, you know, basically identifying your mission, learning the skills, and then overcoming resistance to really put you on the right path. But it, you know, it transitions to something of a mentoring program, but it's not like one of those masterminds. It's a 15-week course, and, you know, we kind of lead you through the whole process, and then you'll be in kind of the inner circle closed group to continue the communication after that.
Okay. Yeah, we call the show the Vision Board Podcast, Aubrey, and you've been on our vision board to chat with for this first year, and you could have been anywhere today, so we really appreciate you spending the time with us.
Absolutely. It's been fun, guys. Thanks.
And guys, that was Aubrey Marcus. We thank you for tuning in, and we know that you've learned plenty from that episode.
Awesome to hear how, you know, the initial question about the starting of the business in the attic, you know, it was initially to find ways how to best perform himself, and now he's able to help people on a mass scale.
Yeah, everywhere's got an origin, guys. So, you know, I think you should go back and just listen to some of the wise words from Aubrey Marcus. Guys, thanks again for tuning into the show. We really appreciate your time and energy. Best thing you could do for us is please share that with your family and friends. So whether that's on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, we would appreciate that, you spreading the word.
Yeah, guys, also like us, the Vision Board Podcast, on Facebook and Twitter. Like and share, like Tristan said, and follow Tristan and I on all social platforms, Tristan Cannell and Johnny Stofko.
Awesome. Johnny, thanks for sharing that experience with me, man.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. It was good to chat with Aubrey.
All right, guys. Before next week, we've got our brand new recap show on Friday. So if you missed both the Tim and Aubrey episodes and you want to know the juiciest parts, me and Johnny will be recapping that on Friday. Plus, we probably have a couple other little topics that we'll do. It's a shorter episode, but it's something we're excited about.
Yeah, very excited to share with you guys. Get your feedback and input, man. We're just going to keep bringing it bigger and better.
Definitely, guys. So input, info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, keep the feedback coming. Keep the love and the support, guys. We appreciate you.
Great episode, Johnny. And I will see you on Friday.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast. Stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and, you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.